Die Chancen stehen wieder gut, Millionär zu werden. Jetzt Countdown zum Glück bei den Bayern-Millionen.
Da gibt's zweimal 1 Million Euro mit der Chance 1 zu 250.000 und viele weitere Gewinne. Die Bayern-Millionen in jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Nur solange der Vorrat reicht.
Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18, Chance auf 1 Million Euro, 1 zu 250.000. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen, Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
I wouldn't tell you my name, I wouldn't tell you a lie. Minnesota of Monday, Minnesota of Mon. I wouldn't shut my mouth, I wouldn't kiss you goodbye. Minnesota of Monday, Minnesota of Monday. Hello, everyone.
What song was that? Let us know.
Taste of Monday by the Purrs.
Purr.
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 Hey everyone, welcome to Minnesota. Oh my gosh, is this Minnesota 60? 60,
yeah. I know, we're over the hill.
Girl, I remember when we started this podcast in 1962. This joke never gets old. And I said,
and I'm always very, very impressed by your math skills.
And I said, that JFK sure is president right now.
And then I anticipate he'll be president for a long time.
It might be too soon to say this, but I said, I'm certain of two things. JFK will serve a full term, and we will not make it to 60 minisodes. Wrong on both accounts.
Wow. Remember
wrong
that.
On both accounts.
But doesn't it feel good to be wrong sometimes? Not with the I first mean about, thing. I was going to say the about second thing, I feel good.
You guys, has enough time passed that we can make these jokes and not go to hell? Let us know.
Well, I mean,
it was a very tragic thing that happened.
No, I can't even imagine like living through that. I've seen Assassins.
You were in Assassins. Have you seen Assassins or have you just lived Assassins?
Well, I've seen bootlegs. So.
Okay, so you've seen Assassins. Yeah.
You've That's seen about a bootleg as much of my production.
I was going to say, I only saw a bootleg of yours. So.
Was it good?
It was very good.
Did you like me in it?
I did. You were very good.
Thanks.
All right. Minnesota 60. It's swinging 60s. Lena and I are going to become swingers over these next 10 weeks. The new tradition of the Minnesota is we tell you our experience swinging. Every week.
Dude, don't threaten me with a good time.
I have two stories. Holy cow. I'm sorry. Minnesota are not for personal stories.
The yes, first story.
The first story is I've been doing a lot of like workshops and meet and greets with like casting directors and agents and stuff, just being like, someone please hire me, please. Mm-hmm. It's frankly embarrassing, but that's the job. It's an embarrassing career path to be in. But anyways, it's like Q&A stuff where you like ask them questions and they tell you. And someone asked, like, you know, if I like have interest in understudying or being a swing, should I like say that in my audition? And one of the casting directors was like, yes, absolutely say that. And she was like, write a little note in your audition that says, and she, it kind of just came out without her realizing it. She was like, that says interested in swinging. And then she was like, maybe don't word it like that.
Or do. I always love when people say like, oh, like I swung on or I swung for this production. You know what I mean? It always, do you know what I mean?
I just feel like that can only be taken one way though. Yeah. If you swung for production.
But when you
like,
say
what?
Interested in swinging, yeah.
Yeah, but when you're like, hey, by the way, I'm interested in swinging.
And actually, you mean is you just want to hook up with the director.
Yeah,
but like in
you're
a
like,
chill
I
way.
Know you're married, but I am interested in swinging.
I've got a partner, but can we swing?
The other story, frankly, I maybe have told on the podcast before.
I love this story. Tell it again.
I have told you about it before. It's when I went to a drag brunch And frankly, it was bad. I will not say where it was.
Yeah, you texted but it was, me the entire time about how miserable you are.
It was terrible because the one that I remember texting you about that I was like, literally, they should be embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
Is one of the queens lip sync to Don't Rain on My Parade and she didn't know the words. And I was like, this is a drag brunch. Mm-hmm. You know that like at least 70% of this audience is theater people and you're going to sing this song and not know the words. Totally. I was pissed.
You don't enter the queer community like and have to take a test that you like know all the words to that
That's
song.
That's how what? You get your card.
That's how I got mine.
Yeah, truly. but yeah, it just like, you know, love to them, but they were not doing a great job. Totally. But the most memorable part of the entire drag brunch were these two couples in the audience, two straight couples who were swingers and were very open about the fact that they were swingers and were actively swinging at the drag brunch. They were with each other's spouses. During intermission, they went to the bathroom and had a three-way. We know this because they announced it when they came back.
Wait, what about the fourth person? Did they just sit there?
Hear me out.
Oh, I jump on the gun.
So one of the husbands, I wasn't going to say this, so you did not jump on the gun. One of the husbands was like pretty buff. The other husband was like pretty normal. He wasn't unattractive.
What's your body type?
But he was
buff or normal.
But like, you know, he was like, sure. He was like a normal dude.
Totally.
And it, like me and the people at my table kept talking about it, that it was like kind of sad because mm-hmm. both women were clearly so obviously more into the buff guy mm-hmm. where like the buff guy's wife was supposed to be with the other husband and yet she kept flirting with her own husband. And then the three-way was between the buff husband and the two women. And the poor normal guy was like, what are you getting out of this? Like, frankly, I don't know. I'm not going to pry into other people's affairs, but I felt very bad for him.
I mean, some people are into that. I don't know.
That's true. Maybe he's got a cuckold kink. Yeah. Wow. We are turning a corner on this podcast.
Listen, I turned 60 and I stopped being afraid of my sexuality.
Got to the point where, like, we're retiring soon.
I love those old people who, like, just don't give a shit anymore. That's us.
Yeah. We get a senior discount in 5 years. Whatever. But the worst one was, mm-hmm. so they did just like a fun game where it was like tag lip sync, essentially, where they just played whatever song and then one of the queens would pick, they would like tap someone at a shoulder at the table and they had to get up and lip sync. And like, if you didn't know the words, it didn't matter. Just like give it your best. Mm-hmm. And then you had to do it until you had made $5 in tips. And then you would tag someone else in the audience. Frankly, it was one of the only good parts of the show.
Mm, cool.
But then everyone was, you know, like having fun and just like, it was like a little embarrassing, but that was part of the charm and they were trying their best and it was like cute and endearing. And then they tag one of the swingers and the woman fully flashes the entire audience. No bra.
You saw her nip
bare
knobs.
Boobs. And she is fully like giving lap dances to people in the audience and makes $5 in tips and keeps going, refuses to tag another person. And all of us were like, this feels like sexual harassment.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
I did not sign up for this. Frankly, will not be going back there again. It was not a good time. Whoa. And I hope those people had a great weekend. They were wild.
I wonder if they got arrested for public indecency.
Shoot, I don't think so.
Dude.
Well, people swinging 60s, everyone.
Welcome. We're going to have lots of fun this decade.
My name is Ian Allred. I am 60 years old. We did start this podcast our first year on Earth. Mm-hmm. I'm also a mini gleek.
My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am also 60. And if you listen back to the first couple episodes, it sounds like we're babies. We were very young.
There's a lot of baby talk in those early episodes.
Oh, lots. Yeah. And I'm a mini gleek.
Minisode one is just...
No, totally.
That's
then we had to skip a week because we were like nervous and learning to walk.
It was just us picking up our microphones and hitting them against the table totally. Over and over again.
Ryan Murphy, who raised us, was really frustrated. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was. We were like, what do you expect, dude? We've been alive for 3 months and you're having us podcast?
Wait, that's the conspiracy of the century, is that we're an industry plant planted by Ryan Murphy to like, I don't know, talk about Glee again. Not that people weren't truly to make it popular again. Yeah. Oh my gosh, let's spread that rumor.
What do you expect, dude? We're only 1 year old and the president just died. Oh, we don't know how to handle this. I need to reiterate, it's not funny that that happened. It was a national tragedy. No. It was a very awful thing that happened.
Totally.
Did it also happen 1 year after this podcast started?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the truth.
All right.
Something just broke. Oh my gosh. Well, are you ready to get into the mini-sode?
Let's do it.
Okay, cool.
We truly took this episode in every direction.
Honestly, I like it. Talking about death, talking about sex, talking about drag queens. My three favorite things. I'm just kidding. Oh my God. Wow. I am so glad since my grandma got married, she does not listen to the podcast anymore because she's got like stuff going on, and I'm so glad for it. You know what I mean? Because yes. I turned 60 and I stopped caring. Well, up first.
My mother does still listen. So, hey, Mom.
Hey.
Oh, well.
Up first, we've got a message from Sophie.
Hi, Mini Gleeks. Hope New York is treating you well. I have a few thoughts on the latest episode and Shanna leaving in particular. The first thing that struck me was that she's basically this season's Marissa. They were both consistently on top of their game and yet left as soon as they were put in the bottom three. They also almost finished in the same place, Marissa being 7th and Shanna being 6th. I'm not surprised you were both upset over this because Shanna just deserved better from the Glee project. And I'm also struggling to see why Michael is still here. Oh, we know why. He's one of two potential Finns. Anyway, another reason I wanted to write was to share 2 cents on how disappointing it is to see Shanna leave during the Parability Week. Knowing what we know about her sexuality and how she wasn't out at the time, it made me sad to hear those girl-on-girl is fun comments from some of the contestants, and if I remember correctly, mentors. I understand Eileen didn't mean anything by it, and it was just her flirty and playful personality, but stuff like lesbianing it...
You better keep all this in.
Darn, I was gonna cut it. This is a tongue twister, Sophie. But stuff like lesbianing it up this week, 5 times fast, lesbianing it up this week, 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 lesbianing it up this week. But stuff like lesbianing it up this week could have been, and not to speculate, but might have been uncomfortable for Shanna to hear. I'm just basing this on my own experience, of course, and putting myself in Shanna's shoes, but also considering the societal context of how sapphic love is often treated as this fun but frivolous thing that people try but don't take seriously. I was reminded of Naya Rivera talking about the queer representation on Glee and how she pushed for Britannia to be taken seriously. Quote, "It started off as this funny thing, like, oh yeah, she just randomly hooks up with her friend Brittany. But I kind of was encouraging them to make it more serious and not play around with it, because there are people out there that it's not a joke to. It's their real lives." Unquote. Once again, I know people didn't mean to be dismissive, and I hope it wasn't an uncomfortable experience for Shanna, but just some food for thought on the whole thing. You know, for a show like Glee that was upheld as a milestone in queer representation, and for something that was genuinely progressive and helped a lot of people, the Glee project sure had quite a few weird comments about same-sex couples. Same thing happened last year when Samuel had to play gay and other examples. Looking forward to the end of the Glee project and you guys discussing it, and I'm so ready to get into season 4. Hope you find a way to stream, and as always, take care. # justice for the girls, Sophie.
Sophie, thank you so much for this message. I absolutely feel the same way, and like putting the 2 seasons next to each other and seeing how close Shanna and Marissa were, It just makes me mad because, mm-hmm. especially with what we know about Ryan, where he really regretted sending Marissa home like this, like first time he met her and then, you know, sending her home like that. Shanna being in the exact same situation and him already having had regretted that, doing it again. What a turd. It really makes me mad.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And like you say, Sophie, Michael's just another Finn. And totally. Like, I do think that Michael did very well in Romanticality Week. Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely credit to him. He did very well. But shoot, they just want another Finn. And they're like, it's between Blake and Michael.
Yeah.
And Shanna got caught in the crossfire.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's frustrating, Gal. Robbed.
It is frustrating. I think
the bottom three is a little bit of a flawed concept, but we already talked about that ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm. With knowing that she came out to the people on this show and that was cut from the show, and then like watching it with that lens, it is so interesting. You know what I mean? Like, obviously we don't know what happened behind the scenes at all, but I feel like it illuminates a lot of the things that are going on. And do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I think, like you said, Sophie, and this is still very prevalent in society, but it reflects a lot how, as you said, sapphic love is frequently portrayed, where I feel like this is from my own consumption of media experience, mm-hmm. that like male gay relationships in media are frequently portrayed as like very tragic love stories.
Totally.
It is like they can never be happy. It is absolute devastation. It is absolutely traumatic.
Yeah.
And then female gay love is frequently portrayed as like, it's just like a fun phase they're going through. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a fun party experiment, mm-hmm. Which are both very damaging for very different reasons. And
totally,
so it's just,
absolutely.
I don't know. Yeah, it is bizarre. Like you said, Sophie, that like Glee, you know, Glee was a pretty big deal. And in that, yes, Kurt does go through so much trauma, but also for the most part, his relationship with Blaine is portrayed as like a very positive thing and not some like tragic, they can never be happy. Like they are very happy most of the time. And yet we see all these instances in the Glee project of potentially, I don't know, just homophobia is very pervasive.
Totally.
And even like in a show that was in terms of like viewing homosexuality very progressive for the time it was coming out, we can mm-hmm. still see it in the behind the scenes stuff of the Glee project.
Totally. Absolutely.
And I mean, we can also see it in some stuff that happens on Glee itself.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that just the way? I also, Sophie, thank you so much for sharing this quote from Naya. That makes my heart so sad. Do you know what I mean? It's just so,
mm-hmm.
Naya Rivera was such an amazing person. And for her to be like, no, it's not funny. This is someone's life. Like, let's not make fun of it. Let's make it real. Mm-hmm. I just love her, and the show would have been nothing without her. So thank you for sharing that. It made me really happy. Up next, we have a message from Kathara.
Hey, Ian and LPC. Glee hates girls. We know this, and it was so blaringly obvious in Glee Project Season 1. But as y'all mentioned before, girls aren't going home as easily this season as last. Here's why, in my opinion. Right now, if I took a shot for every time Ryan and co. has mentioned looking for a new Finn, I'd be loopy, baby. I think the mentors know what they want the new Finn character to be, so it's way easier to eliminate the boys who don't fit in that box. A specific example from Tenacity. I think Michael should have gone home. He has been in the bottom so many times and is constantly struggling with the same things. It drove me batshit crazy to watch the mentors punish Abraham for twisting his ankle and still performing through it. Pushing through an injury is literally what Amber just said she did. Of course, his performance will get weaker over time. He was physically injured. I love Zach Woodley as much as the next gal, but I want him to try jumping rope for hours on a twisted ankle without getting worse. With that being said, Abraham isn't the new Finn they're looking for, so as soon as he gave a weak performance, they took the chance to give him the boot. Anyways, I think this is why there are so many girls left. They are competing just based on talent, and the remaining girls are so talented. The guys have always been competing for Cory Monteith. Love you guys. Congrats on moving to New York. Here's a consensual forehead kiss across the East River for Ian. And here's a consensual forehead kiss across Newton Creek for Lena. I'm in Queens. XOXO, Kathara, she, her. Kathara, say hello to Spider-Man for us. Living it up in Queens. Also, say hello to Joe from Seoul. Is that that guy's name? He lives in Queens. Also, it is Joe. Also, say hello to Sarah Bareilles' character in Girls 5 Eva. She
keep
lives
going,
in Queens.
Keep I feel going. Like from Queens.
All the New York media has someone who's from Queens, all the ones that I consume.
I'll say hi to Miles Morales. He's from Brooklyn. I'll say hi to Captain America. Mm-hmm. He's from Brooklyn. And Bucky Barnes from Brooklyn.
I'll say hi to Jennifer Lopez's character in Made in Manhattan. She's in Manhattan.
Keep going.
I just watched When Harry Met Sally. I'll say hi to Harry and Sally. Perfect. I'll say hi to Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks and You've Got Mail. They're on the West Side.
Yeah.
I'll say hi to the friends from Friends. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Him Yim Crew is also in Manhattan, right? How about your mother?
Oh,
How about your mother?
Oh my God, yeah. I don't know.
Sorry, someone wasn't on the IMDb message boards back in 2012.
You it was know Him that Yim. I wasn't.
You gonna type that whole name out? That's a long name.
No, I know what you, listen, I now that you say it, I know what it is, but I've never heard Him Yim out loud.
Him Yim.
Listen, I didn't like hang out with a lot of boys in high school, and that's who was watching that show in high school. I like that show fine, but I didn't like all the boys who liked it in my high school. They were douchebags.
Oh, I frankly love How I Met Your Mother. I hated most boys who liked it because I felt like they grossly misunderstood the point of the show.
Totally.
They were all like, I like that show because of Barney, because Barney's so cool and so funny. And I was like, how can you not watch this show and realize how incredibly sad Barney is as a character?
Absolutely.
Like, even the show itself comments on how he is like a very deeply sad person who really hates himself and is coping with it through like copious amounts of sex and like treating women poorly.
I don't know. Yeah. Because they just see that he's, like, rich and he, like, dates a lot. And they're like, that's the shit. You know, they're not actually watching it. I remember, like, during high school, a bunch of boys would, like, wear suits to, like, either, like, was it, like, every Monday? And then they would, like, every SAT thing we would do, they would wear, like, they would dress up for it, which I've heard is a thing, but
I remember that too. Yeah,
but they were doing it because of Barney Stinson, and I was like, you guys are so annoying.
Oh, mine did it because I got like extra credit for some dumb class. Yeah, genuinely.
No, mine
honestly
no.
And I mean, I'm sure there's people who like Barney for the right reasons, but anyone who tells me that Barney Stinson is her favorite character in that show, immediate red flag.
Yeah.
Anyone who tells me that Robin Scherbatsky is their favorite character, immediate green flag. I love Robin Scherbatsky.
Anyone who tells me that Lily is their favorite character, that's who I want to hang with.
Okay, after saying hi to all of our lovely fictional TV characters. Oh, and hi to Rachel. She lives in Brooklyn, right? In season 4?
Oh, Rachel and...
Just Rachel. we'll gleep it out. But yes, saying hi to Rachel.
Saying hi to Rachel. Yep.
On to your actual email, Kathara. Hello. Thank you for emailing. Yes, I agree. Do I think that Michael and Blake are talented? Yes. Do I also think that Ryan especially likes them and is forgiving of them because they fit something he built up in his head for what he wanted to be on the show? Also, yes. I think it's like Ryan wants Finn.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is keeping, as you said, any Cory Monteiths in the competition. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, he does like to, you know, like fan fiction who these other characters could be. And so, like, you know, he's got his little fan fiction of Eileen and her relationship with her family that he thinks is really fun. Mm-hmm. And so he keeps Eileen around. And then he's got his like fan fiction of like stories he could tell with Allie and stories he could tell with Lily. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if I'm actually saying anything of substance right now. Essentially, Kathara, I agree.
No, totally. I don't know that I have anything to say either than I absolutely agree. Ryan Murphy knows what he wants, and he has proved this time and time again. And I think it really shows here, you know, and especially with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no reason he should have been punished like that, other than he doesn't fit into whatever he thinks is mm-hmm. the next Finn, you know?
Yeah. And like was... Did you bring it up in your email? If not, it was brought up in other people's emails. Like, you know, Abraham had been in the bottom before, yeah. But Abraham was constantly getting like different feedback and then working on the different feedback.
Totally.
Whereas Michael, every time he's in the bottom, it's always kind of like the same one thing that he can't get past. And yet, like, he keeps getting a pass for that one thing because he's more like Cory Monteith than other people. Although I do think Michael seems like a great person.
No, totally. I love Michael.
Still such a big fan of his date he went on with Lily. It was so charming.
I know. And I'm sure he's like super awesome and cool. But we've seen this before where like every person has like their Achilles heel. I'm thinking Nelly. Mm-hmm. You know, Nelly struggled with this one thing the whole time. And it eventually sent her home. And we don't. Well, we'll see when Michael goes home. But, like, Nelly was sent home for this exact thing. And Michael, like, hasn't even been in the bottom three very recently. You know, he keeps being, like, in the bottom four. And they, like, take him out because they make excuses for him all the time. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know if they're necessarily... There hasn't really been a week where I was like, he absolutely should have been in the bottom for what he did this specific week.
There was, I think, not this block of episodes, but the episodes before. I'll never remember.
Because, like, I agree that I think Shanna should have outlasted him. But then I also think that during Romanticality, I do agree that during that specific week, Michael did better than Shanna.
Totally agree.
And so it's that complicated thing where it's like the bottom three is just based on your performance that specific week.
Totally. But I am thinking there has been times where Michael has been in the bottom four, but then been like saved for whatever reason. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I think that's certainly happened before, if not multiple times. And yeah, I don't know though. I like Michael. Yeah. Michael sounds awesome. The song he wrote for Lily, I Made My Ringtone. It's my favorite thing that's ever happened. But yeah, all of this is complicated. But Kathara, I really appreciate your thoughts and I absolutely agree with all of them. XOXO. Say hi to Queens for me.
Speaking of people I can say hi to in Manhattan, the Avengers... Avengers Mansion, Avengers Tower, sure. Doctor Strange, the Fantastic Four.
Taylor Swift.
The list goes on and on. Taylor Swift.
Oh. All right, Kathara, thank you so much. Up next, we have a message from Elizabeth.
Ian and LPC, it's Elizabeth, your newly 36-year-old biggest fan.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Can I just say how ancient I feel when people write in and say they watched Glee when they were like 8 and I was fully an adult with a teaching career and a house at that point? Elizabeth, can I tell you how ancient we feel when people write in and they say they watched Glee when they were 8 and we have to be like, we were freaking 47 when that show came out.
Dude, your math is good. How are you so good at that?
We had lived through an assassination. I need to stop bringing that up. Should I cut that one out? Is that a bridge too far? That one's on Lena's head. If that was a bridge too far, she proved it. She proved it. Oh, honestly, I feel kind of gross about it.
The way you said it.
Anyways, back to Elizabeth. So Elizabeth is writing us, and here's what she has to say. I'm very sorry to everyone.
Yeah, only love for the Kennedys.
Genuinely. I keep, like, I feel like when I say it, it sounds sarcastic, but, like, genuinely a very tragic thing that happened.
No, and absolutely. I am
so, like, as a nation, but also, like, that family specifically. And yet I've joked about it three times on this podcast. Oh my gosh.
Well, we were babies when it happened.
That's true. It's trauma coping. It's, you know how people joke about their trauma? That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to stop digging a hole and we're going to get back to Elizabeth. Elizabeth says, when you guys talked about, I think it was Abraham, and how he came back on stage to fight for his spot and wouldn't take no for an answer and wasn't going to give up without a spot on Glee, and how it was super off-putting for the judges and other mentors, two words flew into my head. Carmen Thibodeau. Ryan Murphy with the actual hell. This is totally the same Niata storyline you gave Rachel. She actually stalks this woman to give her another chance. Ah! Okay, that's it. Gotta go. My kindergartners are coming back from specials. Bye!
Oh my gosh. Well, listen. When were they filming season 3?
I'm sure it had already been filmed because...
All right.
That happens
because Conspiracy of the Century, props? Ryan Murphy just copied Abraham.
So Props, which is the episode when she actually stalks Carmen Thibodeau, came out on May 15th. Mm-hmm. And that episode of The Glee Project was filmed before the 9th of March. Because the 9th of March is when they filmed Romanticality, which is the episode after. Mm. I don't know what the turnaround is on Glee, but actually now saying that, that's like over 2 months. So you could totally be right. They could absolutely have filmed it after. Shoot.
Mm. Ryan Murphy, I need answers.
Shoot, Ryan Murphy said, I don't like this, but if it was Lea Michele doing it, maybe I would. Maybe I'd
reward her. Mm. You know, much to ponder, much to think about. What? Are you just trying to do
I'm
math?
Trying to see when they filmed it. Oh, I'm got doing it. A little investigative journalism.
That's what our podcast is, first and foremost, is we're journalists.
The first...
What?
The first scenes of the episode were shot on March 30th. That is like 3 weeks after Abraham did that, which is enough time to write the episode and put this plot point into the episode.
We just blew the shit wide open.
No. Tina and Rachel stalking Carmen Thibodeau is directly influenced by Abraham walking back on stage and demanding to be on Glee.
Interesting. Abraham was punished and Rachel awarded.
I will say, the episode was written by Ian Brennan. And sure. Ian Brennan is not one of the mentors. But obviously, you know,
he
wrote the episode in the sense that he oversaw it. But everyone had a hand in it. So mm-hmm. Ryan Murphy still could have been like, I think this happens.
Maybe.
Dang.
Elizabeth, what would we do without your insight? You just solved our case for us. But thank you so much for this message. Say hey to your kindergartners for us.
Hi, kindergartners.
Hey, kindergartners.
Cherish life as it is right now. Truly.
Honestly, kindergarten Anyways. Was fun. I did kindergarten twice. It was so fun.
Oh, heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, heck y'all. That's your minisode. Minisode 60. Welcome to the swinging 60s.
Swinging 60s, baby. It's 1960.
It's 1960.
And what a good... Full disclosure, this is the song I skip every time I listen to... What's that show called?
Merrily
We Roll Along.
I can just tell someday I'm going to be in it. Obviously, everything about me says I'm going to be in it. But I know that like the transition music is going to be very difficult for me. Like, what year are we in? I never remember. Oh my God. You know, we're going backwards. Meh.
Here we go. 1960, and gosh, what a swell year it's been. Why am I singing this in Beth's octave? Okay, I don't remember. I listen to this song so infrequently, and I probably listen to this cast album once a year. I truly always skip the song. I don't even know the melody. So many blessings, such wonders it has brought. You hardly know where to begin.
Wait,
keep going.
Well, what's the name of the song?
There's Xerox and lasers, the twist and the pill, a city in Brazil that no one wants to fill.
What's the name of the song?
It's Bobby and Jackie and Jack. I know that part.
Oh, yeah. Bobby and Jackie and Jack.
And Miri, it's more in the back. There's Ethel and Teddy and Pat alone, plus Eunice and Peter and Jean and Joan. And what's his name? Steven and hold the phone. The one in the army.
The one in the army.
Captain, Major, Sergeant. Yeah. That's it. So many cards in the back. You want to know how to keep track? Well, one is good looking and young and rich. Well, one is good looking and young and rich. The rest are good looking and young and rich. There isn't a lot that they lack. Not Bobby and Jackie and Jack and Ethel and Ted and Eunice and Pat and Joan and Steve and Peter and Jean and Sarge. There's probably dozens of others at large. God, who knows? And Joe and Rose are bringing back style to the White House. I'm painting it cream for a start. Okay, and that's 19. That's Bobby and Jackie and Jack, everyone.
Wow, I just found the lyrics. Thanks for leaving me in the fucking dust, you brat.
Well... Thanks for being here, everyone. Thanks for listening to a little Merrily We Roll Along.
If you had to cast us in Merrily We Roll Along, who would you cast us as?
Am I casting us? You're Mary, I'm Charlie.
That would be so good.
I want to play Charlie so bad.
I know, which sucks for you because I think you'd be Frank.
Yeah, which, like, hear me out. Frank's the bigger part, so I wouldn't be like, shoot. I just think Charlie's more fun. Totally. That's like, I kind of feel the same way about Beth and Mary. Mary is a much better part, but I'm like, but Beth sings Not a Day Goes By.
I know, literally. And that's the best song in the show. I also feel that way about, what's her face? Gussie? Gussie?
Oh, wait. What's her actually name? Maybe you're Gussie.
Oh, thank you. Well, listen, maybe I could swing for that show. I'm interested in swinging.
You'd be willing to swing.
Oh my God. What a fun show.
Let's wrap this potato up.
If you have thoughts, the next two episodes we're doing are a gleality. What?
If you have thoughts, keep them to yourself because we have an announcement about the next minisode.
Oh my God. Don't you tell us your thoughts on these episodes.
You zip that lip. So next Monday, we don't have Minisode 61. We are waiting a week. So Minisode 61, if you like have thoughts about the final two episodes of the Glee Project, send them in, and then we will also be talking about the season 4 premiere. However, next Monday, in lieu of a Minisode, we are going to be having a special season 2 of the Glee Project wrap-up with the one, the only, the Marissa of season 2, Harper Gray!
Can you believe this shit, you guys? She's for real going to be here. I'm going to cry. I'm really nervous. We haven't talked to her yet. I'm really nervous. I mean,
we've
really
messaged
cool.
her, but yeah, we haven't like actually spoken. So if you have questions for Harper Gray, questions about, like, this is the time to answer all of these just like pure conjecture that we've given about the Glee Project behind the scenes.
Totally.
If you have stuff you want to know, like, how is it that every time someone sees that they're not called back, suddenly the entire rest of the cast walks into the room? Mm-hmm. What, including the other people who are in the bottom three? How does that work? If you have questions about behind the scenes stuff of the Glee Project that you've always wanted to know the answer to, or Harper Gray's personal experience, send those our way. We're going to be talking to her. We're going to see what her experience was like. We're very excited.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. So go ahead and send those in. You can send them to our email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Have a lovely week, everyone. We're finishing our talk on the Glee project this Wednesday with the last two episodes, Actability and Gleeality 2, and then our wrap up with Harper Gray next Monday, and then it will be on to season 4. Whoa. We will find a way to watch it.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being here. I got more love in my heart for you than you could even imagine. So thank you for being here. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.